starting a private practice isn't what it used to be. Today's clinicians are starting private practices much quicker, easier, and cheaper than before. And they aren't guessing their way through it or getting stuck in analysis paralysis. They're following a tried and true roadmap in order to save time, money, and frustration. There is no reason to reinvent the wheel or struggle to figure out how to start a private practice on your own. We've helped thousands of SLPs and OTs through this process, and now we want to help you too. For a limited time, I'm offering a free copy of our private practice roadmap, specifically for SLPs and OTs who are curious about private practice and want to see what the journey looks like. To download your free copy, please visit startyourprivatepractice.com/roadmap to sign up. Now, on to the episode. Welcome to another inspiring episode of the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. I'm your host, Jenna Castro-Casbon, and today we have a fantastic guest, Ahlem Issa. Ahlem is a passionate and driven speech-language pathologist with a remarkable journey. Her story is a testament to the incredible transformations that can happen when one follows their heart and perseveres through challenges. In today's episode, we discuss her clinic location and how she initially started in a shared space and what led her to move into a newer space. We also talk about her boutique-style private practice and how it works, how she's built her client base through word of mouth, online searches, and yes, TikTok, and Ahlem's long-term goal of taking her private practice to a national and international level to provide more services to underserved communities. If you've been thinking about pursuing private practice, especially to underserved populations, this is a must-listen episode, so stay tuned. I'm Jenna Castro-Casbon, speech-language pathologist, business coach, and creator of the Start Your Private Practice system, and I'm on a mission to turn stuck SLPs into successful private practitioners. If you're tired of dealing with high productivity requirements, high caseload sizes, and low pay, it's time to take control of your professional, personal, and financial life and finally get the freedom, flexibility, and financial abundance that you deserve by working with private clients in your own practice. Join me here each week as I share tips, best practices, and inspirational interviews on the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. If you're a private practitioner or one in the making, you're in the right place, so let's get started. Before we dive in, can you please share your name, your location, and the name of your private practice?
Yeah, so my name is Ahlem Issa, and I am from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and the name of my practice is Issa Speech Therapy, PLC.
And because you're kind of Insta-famous, can you share your Instagram handle so that people can follow you?
Yes, so it's Issa Speech Therapy. Issa is I-S-S-A, and then Speech Therapy. And I also have TikTok. I'm more famous on TikTok.
That's great. Okay, awesome. I'm more focused. So I'm trying to get on TikTok, but I'm not doing as well as I am on Instagram. But anyway, This is about you. Let's go back to the beginning of your career. Can you please share a little bit about like how you got into like the profession? And then at what point did you start thinking about private practice?
Yeah. So when I was younger, I actually had a lisp and a stutter, but I never received the help for it. Speech therapy wasn't as popular during that time, but I did get teased for it. And it was really hard for me when I was younger. So I was like adamant about figuring out how to, you know, correct it and fix it because I didn't get the help that I needed. And I didn't know at that time that the speech therapy career like field was even existed at that time. So I ended up like going on YouTube and, you know, doing my own research. And I was in middle school at that time, mind you, very young, very young. So I ended up treating my own lisp and my stuttering. I actually ended up like figuring out different strategies to kind of help cope with it. And then years later, when it was time to figure out what I wanted to do with my career, I did a lot of research. I didn't know about the speech therapy field yet. So I started with teaching. I loved it, but still didn't find the fulfillment that I was looking for. Then social work, because I loved helping people. You know, when I was younger, I didn't get that help that I needed and wanted, I didn't want other people to go through that. So I did social work. It was just too much. I went through like the macro, like the domestic violence and that area. And it was just really hard. I was like, no, I like it, but not, I don't love it. I don't feel like a sense of true fulfillment. And then I went to pharmacy. Didn't work out. And then I finally dug a little deeper and came across speech therapy. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing this. I know it's really hard. And I've heard a lot of like horror stories about grad school and getting into grad school. So at that point, I was almost done with my bachelor's. So I took classes. I've heard a lot of crazy things about getting into grad school. Also the lack of diversity. I was like, okay, there's not much diversity, and especially the programs I was looking at and that were near me. But I was like, I'm not going to focus on the hardships, but I'm going to focus on how I could get there. That was the big point. It's like, I don't care how I'm going to get there. I will get there. I did get rejected the first time, but I didn't let it get to me. I was like, okay, what can I do differently next time? So I got into grad school finally. So yeah, there were so many different factors that really impacted how I got into speech therapy, and I love it. So I graduated in 2017, and then I went straight into an outpatient clinic. And so during that time, I learned that I was expecting a child, so my first child. So I decided, as soon as I found out that I was actually expecting, I decided to transition to working in schools, because that's what I always heard, that if you're starting a family, you go to school. So, that's like the cliche. And to me, that's what it seemed like, an ideal way to start a family. Thinking of all the breaks that you get and going to school with your child. It was just that image that you have that people ingrain in you. So yeah, and then for me, during that time, starting my career, I was very like careful about having I wanted a work-life balance. I really wanted to make sure that was put in place. And I thought going into schools, I did my internships at an inpatient rehab in the hospitals. I loved it, but the productivity was so high, but getting a day off was like pulling teeth. And I'm like, I loved it so much, but I could not do it with me starting a family. So I did like a process of elimination in the schools. So yeah, so since then, which was in, I think, 2018, I've been working at the same school district, and I work between two different schools. So I've been really enjoying working with the students, but I'm going to be honest, the amount of paperwork from the state and the district is a lot. And I'm a person, I just take it one step at a time. I'm all about nothing is hard. It's just a lot of work. You just put in the work. So I'm really good about that. But yeah, so 2018, and then fast forward to 2021, I made the decision to explore new opportunities, and I've started working part-time in private practice, which we'll talk more about in detail, while working in the schools. That's where you started seeing a shift in like speech therapists starting in private practice, was during that COVID era. Right. So I think that's where it started. Like, okay, I met other people, and then Jenna, you like played a huge role, which we'll talk about as well. But honestly, it turned out to be the best decision or the best thing that I ever did. It did allow me to broaden my horizons and just gain new experiences in my profession. Yeah. And I love like the balance between working in schools and engaging in private practice. I feel like it gives me like a diverse set of skills and helps me with my professional goals, I think.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love everything about what you just said. At like the core that I can tell about you is just your ability to like persist. Right. Like you had like some challenges as a child, with, lisp, stutter, and you're like, I'm just going to figure this out. I'm going to figure out how to do this on YouTube. Right. And then you like dabble in a couple different professional opportunities looking for that fulfillment, didn't find it. So persisted mm-hmm. rather than be like, oh, well, I guess, I'll just stick with pharmacy because of X, Y, and Z. You're like, no. I want to do what I want to do, what fills my cup and, lights me up and whatnot. And so you persisted until you found speech pathology. Then you were in a couple different settings that were just kind of not quite exactly what you needed. So you persisted and then moved into your own private practice. What a cool trajectory.
Thank you. Thank you. How I started into private practice is a whole other story. So for me, the idea of starting private practice actually began during my graduate school. And so I grew up, I don't know if you know this, but I grew up in a family with a background in various entrepreneurial adventures, like real estate, restaurants, schools. So I've always had that, I don't know how you would word it, like an entrepreneurial spirit within me. So when I heard people talk about private practice during graduate school, it sounded so distant for me, but so close, so distant, so close. The reason why it was so distant, it was because I mentioned it in one of your podcasts where when we think about private practice, we think about like the traditional way, which is, you know, making sure you have like a brick and mortar and having a full team and having this amount of money to start and then also having a lot of experience. So when I think about private practice, all the people that they brought in when I was in graduate school to talk about private practice, and I'm really fortunate that people actually came in and talked about private practice, were older. So I'm like, okay, you have to be older and you have to be a certain way. And so despite all these initial apprehensions I had, I still had a strong desire to open up my own practice. And part of it is because of probably the background that I came from and the change. And it was a lot of fun. To me, it's fun just growing up your own baby, I guess. So in graduate school, after I graduated, I set a 5-year goal to achieve that. So I told myself 5 years down the road, I'm going to have my own private practice. So I shared this dream with my husband and family. I feel like sharing your goals with someone that you trust is, I think, really important to kind of hold you accountable. So I made it clear that this was my long-term vision. However, I wasn't sure about the exact path that I was going to take to make this dream a reality. So years later, everything changed when I came across your podcast, your podcast, Jenna, like literally, which proved to be a life-changing experience. And even to this day, when I feel like, oh, okay, I feel discouraged, Jenna, I need Jenna's podcast.
And now you're a guest. Like, what a social moment, right? Now you inspire all these people who are on the same boat, right? Like listening, need that inspiration, need that, you know, person in front of them to show them the way. And now this is going to be you too.
Yes. And so when you invited me on this podcast, I'm like, yes, now I could, because the cool thing about private practice and hearing other people's stories is that there's not one right way to go into private practice. And so hearing other people's experiences and that everybody does it differently and that's okay. And that just gives me encouragement that it's okay if I'm doing things backwards or if I'm doing this a certain way. As long as you see the light at the end of the tunnel, you see your end goal, that's all that matters. And so listening to other stories on your podcast that were in the same position as me, like witnessing their dreams come to life, or it, you know, really helped me, give me like that motivation. And one of the things that I love the most about your podcast and what things that you said is the why, like, why are you in private practice? And so I thought about that a lot. And so when you've said, what is your why? And then you said it out loud, you said, I want control over my financial, personal, and, you know, professional life. That really resonated deeply with me. And it sticks with me. I'm like, I want all of that. So it's just been almost 2 years. So I've tried 3 other businesses beforehand. So I've had 3 other businesses, but none of them really brought the fulfillment I was looking for. So the concept of private practice, I just felt like a unique connection, as if I was like nurturing and growing my own baby. So every day, like when I step into my office, I'm in my office right now, I experience a sense of fulfillment knowing that all the hard work has led to this moment. And this is me like barely touching the surface of what I have planned for my practice.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Yeah. Well, and you know, people are listening to this, so they can't see how adorable your office is, right? But like when y'all follow her on social media, you'll just see the cuteness of the space. But I love how you just like wouldn't let this dream like die, right? You're like, this is what I want to do. I feel called to help in this way and to, you know, serve, you know, my clients and everything. So I'm just so happy that you moved forward with it and you had, you know, some family support and background. And I think that's always helpful for people. Hi there, Jenna Castor-Casbon here. And I hope that you're loving the episode so far. Chances are you've been listening to this podcast for a while and soaking up a ton of information from myself and our guests. And it's time to make the shift from dreaming to doing and go from inspiration to implementation. Successful private practices don't build themselves. At The Independent Clinician, we help regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners using our proven systems. No more guessing, no more Googling, no more sleepless nights stressing about legalities. We can help you just like we've helped the guests featured on this show. They didn't guess or stress their way through private practice. Instead, they got step-by-step help along the way, and we're excited to help you too. If you need help to get set up and started with private clients on the side, the Start Your Private Practice program is perfect for you. If you've already started and you want to transition into full-time private practice and be successful once you're there, the Grow Your Private Practice program is your next step. To learn more about our programs, go to independentclinician.com. Now back to the episode. If people are listening now and they're thinking like, wow, that's so cool. Like, what does your private practice look like these days, right? What would you tell them?
So in the early days of my private practice, I actually started out in a brick and mortar. I know you've mentioned a lot that you don't have to start in a brick and mortar, but I was fortunate enough to find a shared space where I used a small room from the office, and it wasn't perfect, but I understood that perfection wasn't necessary at that time, especially in the beginning stages of my practice. You know, the space served its purpose, which was for me to see my clients. So during the initial phase, I really took a gradual approach, and it's still a gradual approach. I didn't rush to fill my schedule or invest heavily in marketing. Instead, I really focused on getting my feet wet and building a client base slowly. And so I just needed, what did I need to start a private practice? I needed to see clients. With no clients, we're not going to have a private practice. So most of my clients, you know, came through the word of mouth, people finding me through online searches, like a Google. So I think people were able to find me on Google because I actually had a physical address. So when people say, hey, speech therapy near me, they would find me on Google. And then the Facebook groups and also TikTok, people were surprisingly call me. I saw you on TikTok. Can you, treat me? I'm like, yeah, sure. Come on. So since I still have a full-time job at this point, initially, I didn't really feel pressure to move at a quicker pace or accelerate everything. I really embraced the process and moved at my own pace and trying to find the joy in each step of the way. And I think taking this approach, Jenna, allowed me to enjoy the experience and maintain a healthy work-life balance. I know people when they see me, you don't have a work-life balance. You're working 24/7. But I'm like, no, I feel like I do because I bring my family into this experience. It's not just me being at work. Well, anytime I have my husband is also my partner. I don't know if you knew this. So you probably don't hear about him because he's working on the back end of things, the marketing, the technology, all technology is his working. And he does all of that, the back end stuff that helps me focus on giving quality services to my clients. So I started out in person at a smaller space. And, now I'm actually in a newer space. And I moved in January 2023, 2022. I feel like the year has changed. So I moved in 2023. And I feel like the clinic I'm in right now, I've made it into a vision that I've had. And I feel like it's more of a boutique style place. And you've seen it on Instagram. And you know what I'm talking about. So when people come in, I want it to feel like an experience rather than just a visit.
Yes.
So an experience. So I try to spend a lot of time on the quality, the hospitality. When someone comes into your home, you want to make them feel special. And so that's what I try to do. And then recently, I've always also dreamed about creating a space where kids and families can come, relax, and have fun and really get into some quality playtime. At first, I wasn't exactly sure how to make this idea happen, but bit by bit, it started taking shape. I'm able to have time where parents come in, have playtime, open playtime, while also providing speech therapy sessions. They're not on the same day, though. So I have it on the weekends where I do provide open play sessions for the community, but it's all connected to speech therapy. I'm always advertising it as play, working on improving, your child's speech and language development. So our space is really right now is making sure keeping kids in mind. It's very calming, not overly stimulating. I created a space where kids come and spend time playing. And it's not only for the kids that need speech therapy, but for also kids who want a safe space for parents who really want to get into playing with their kids in a meaningful way.
It's like you're filling so many needs, right? You're filling like, you know, you've got like, you know, the all the private therapy services, but then being able to do like these caregiver classes and just the facilitating that playtime for parents is so important, especially right now, like where we are kind of in like, you know, the world. It, like, things are so busy, right? And parents are like, you know, that everyone's working, everything's like so rushed and fast paced that to take, mm-hmm. have like a space and maybe some like direction of like how to like take some time out to play with your kids mm-hmm. is so important. And I think it's going to be wonderful too, just as like a word of mouth booster about your clinic.
Yeah. I had my first open play last week and maybe you've seen it. It was such a success. And I'm like, because we don't have anything like that in our area. If we want to drive, it's like about 30, 40 minutes away. And I don't think the way I'm kind of structuring it is very unique. You have a professional who can help guide you if you need that guidance. So I think it's a unique idea. And I'm really excited that I'm able to bring two passions, put them together. I love like providing this play and a space for kids. And I also love speech therapy. So merging them both, this is just the beginning stages.
Yeah. But let's talk about that next. Like, I would love to hear, you know, what your vision is. Like, in the, you know, as speech therapists, we always talk about like short and long-term goals, right? Mm-hmm. And so we always apply that to our clients, but I always try to get our private practitioners, you know, whether you're at the beginning or you're in the growth phase, to think like, well, what are some short and long-term goals for me and for my practice? So what would you say?
So right now, my main goal is to keep growing and expanding. I'm right in the beginning of this stage. I've been doing so well so far, and I really want to build on the momentum. So first up, I want to just keep the clinic alive, get more clients, so that after I feel like, okay, I'm in a comfortable spot right now with my, the amount of clients I have. I do take insurance, so I started out with private pay. And so taking the insurance has really helped get the word out. People find me through their insurance companies. Still working on getting more insurances, a network to be with more insurances. But yeah, getting more clients in my clinic. I also want to establish contracts with local schools. So can you imagine, Jenna, the impact we could make by providing these services right there in the schools? I think it's an incredible opportunity to teach more kids and support their speech, especially where they spend the most time. They're spending most of their days in the schools. So yeah, working for contracts. I also want to start working more closely with daycares. There's a lot we can do to support children these days, especially in their early years. And I think partnering with daycares could be a fantastic way to make it happen. I just have so many ideas. I write them down. And then I think expanding to teletherapy. I'm already seeing some clients via teletherapy. But I think with everything that's been happening in the world lately, providing services online just like makes it so much more sense. It's a game changer because it opens up opportunities like for kids who might not be able to come in person. Plus, I'll be able to reach out to more families that really need the support. And my long-term vision is even more ambitious. So I want to take my practice to a national and international level. So there's so much work to be done, especially in underserved countries. And seeing all those families without access to services, especially through social media, I didn't realize that people had a really hard time. Like, I thought it was, okay, long wait list in Michigan or long wait list in Boston. But I didn't realize that people were going without services at international countries. Oh, my child has this and I can't get services, or I can't afford the services. And so I want to be able to, I'm like really determined to create programs and partnerships to really make a positive impact worldwide. I'm working on a plan. I feel like I'm everywhere, but I'm just like, I'm very methodical. So I'm like, okay, this is what I need to get done. Then this, then that. So that's like my long term. Like, I want to reach people outside of the country. And I'm kind of doing that right now, but just at a very smaller scale. But yeah. I know it's going to take a lot of work, but I'm ready to make a real difference and help as many families as I can.
Well, oh my gosh, I just love all of that, right? I love your energy. I love your drive. I love your vision. And I think that they're really, in addition to being like a need in other countries, there's also quite a desire from people in the US who want to be able to provide those services, right? So especially, mm-hmm. you know, bilingual clinicians who want to be able to provide therapy to people, you know, in other countries who speak other languages and whatnot is so, the desire is there, but the, like, the infrastructure isn't. Right. Like, for anyone who spends any time in these Facebook groups, who are like, I want to work with clients in Belize. Like, how do I do that? Or like, how are we allowed to work with people in, I don't know, wherever in China? Right. And there's just like not a really good way to like find out like kind of what the rules and regulations. So if you could help like with bridge that gap for people, I think that would be so great, because then, you know, more clients could get services and more clinicians who have that desire to help people, you know, can be able to do that on a grander scale. So yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're hearing all these ideas and like, okay, Halam, you just too many things that you have in mind. You want to do it all. So for that reason, I actually hired the operational director that's starting on Monday to kind of help bring all these projects to life. So I'm excited because you can't do it on your own. So that's one thing I learned. Being in business, like if you want to grow, you can't do it on your own. It's just too much, you know? So I was able to find someone who has experience and brought him to the team, and he'll start on Monday. And I'm really excited to like start with the projects, and I'll keep you updated, Jenna.
Please do. And you're so smart to already realize that about yourself, right? Like there's some people who kind of can do some of that on their own. And there's other people who just know that they can't, right? Like I also have an operations director. Shout out to Carolyn. She keeps my whole business moving forward because like you, I come up with lots of ideas and I have these big visions and what I want to help, you know, people accomplish. But there's like, you know, you got to do a lot of steps to make those things happen, right?
Yeah, so
it doesn't happen on its own. So it is a good idea to hire, and especially to keep the things that you can check off a list, like actually happening.
Yeah, I feel like my vision is so clear, but how to get there is not yet clear. So I'm like, it's okay. I know this is the end destination, but how to get there, I'll just take one step at a time. But the main things I want to work on right now, like, currently is build more clientele in my clinic, make it more alive, schools, daycares. That's where I want to work at. And then bigger things come after that.
Oh my gosh. This is so exciting. And you haven't been at this for all that long.
No.
Right?
But I love the idea of business and having your own thing. And again, I've started three things before that. This is so random, but I'm also a makeup artist on the weekends. So I'm a makeup artist, but very different. But again, I just love the whole business aspect and seeing your hard work. Just sometimes you don't see your hard work pay off right away, and that's okay. But just the challenge, I like the challenge.
Yeah. Well, I love that. And you're multi-passionate, which I always appreciate, people who have lots of things that they like to do. And there's lots of ways to make money. There's lots of ways to enjoy helping people, right? I don't really ever wear makeup. Makeup is something that is not something I'm good at or I feel comfortable with. So I would need people like you to help me like do the makeup. You know what I mean? So it's like, whether you're helping people like specifically in our profession or like in other ways, like no matter what, I can tell that you're a helper and you just want to help people, like no matter what that is. So oh my gosh, I love that. And I love your vision, and I love also like how you're thinking about, okay, like, but for my, that's my long-term vision, but like for my short-term, like the getting in the daycares and getting more referrals via word of mouth and like doing more with these, you know, parent classes and everything, like it's just all so exciting, and like the sky's the limit for you, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Can you give any advice to people who might be listening and are like, oh my gosh, like she sounds so cool. I would love to be able to have a private practice, but I'm scared, or, but I have kids, or, but, you know, X, Y, and Z. What would you tell them?
Yeah. So if you're thinking about starting a private practice, first things first, don't let the fear of imperfection hold you back. I know it's easy to get stuck in analysis paralysis. And Jenny, you've talked a lot about that. But trust me, it's all about getting your mindset right and taking action. And so one of the books I loved when I first started with this, starting with private practice, I read the book called Mindset. It's by Carol Dweck, I believe, D-W-E-C-K. And it really helped me put things in perspective. So read that book if you can about mindset. It's all about mindset and perspective. And also having a clear vision of what you want your practice to be like. For me, it's like a North Star guiding you towards your goals. But it's totally okay to start small also and go at your own pace. I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing right now, and it's working great for me. And everybody's journey is going to be different, but you have all these stories that you're listening to and all these experiences that you're listening to on Jenna's podcast. So take that and take it one step at a time. And no one has to have everything figured out from day one. Learning and improvement happen along the way. So don't sweat it if you aren't perfect from the get-go, or if you think aren't perfect from the get-go. I don't think you'll ever be perfect, but I think reaching for perfection is good, is important. But when things don't go your way, it's okay. Embrace the journey and know that obstacles are just part of the process. They're actually, for me, when I think about obstacles, and I've had a lot of obstacles that have, you know, come my way. I look at them. I just take a deep breath. I'm like, okay, it's okay. This is part of the process. And I've, again, heard it from other people. I've heard it from experiences from people that had gone through this. And I take it as an opportunity for me to grow and even get better next time. It's such an exciting adventure. Enjoy every step of the way and celebrate your wins, big or small. That's so important. Like if something great happens and it to other people, it's like, well, it's just simple, it's small, celebrate. And yeah, so I think that's the main thing. And just do it. Don't stop. The biggest thing is we cancel out the background noise. There are so many people who are going to tell you, oh, this is not realistic, or just what you're doing is too much, or just cancel it out. Focus on your end goal and you'll be fine.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Such good words of wisdom. Thank you so much for, again, for sharing your story, for sharing your vision, for sharing, you know, the advice for people who are thinking about this. So we mentioned this at the beginning, but I'm going to mention again, can you tell everyone where to find you on TikTok and Instagram so that they can follow you?
Yeah. So I'll make it easy for you. So it's all the same. So it's ISSA Speech Therapy. So it's ISSA Speech, SPEECH Therapy. And that'll TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. But the main ones that I'm on are Instagram and TikTok.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, everyone go give her a follow, send her a message, and just keep going. I'm so proud of you and what you've been doing. And we'll get to see each other at ASHA.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
So exciting. Yeah. All right. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Jenna.
You're welcome. Okay. Don't you just love Alem? Her journey from overcoming personal challenges to building a thriving private practice is nothing short of inspirational. She is a perfect example of someone who dared to dream and then turned those dreams into a reality. If you're as inspired as I am by Alem's story and are interested in starting your own private practice, be sure to visit independentclinician.com. We offer programs and support to help SLPs and OTs just like you take the next step in your private practice journey. As always, thank you for tuning into the Private Practice Success Stories podcast. Be sure to join us again next week for another episode filled with success stories and valuable insights. Until then, keep dreaming, keep striving, and keep making a positive impact in your field. Till next time. Well, this episode might be over, but we don't have to say goodbye. Head on over to independentclinician.com for resources that will help you at each stage of your private practice journey. If you're on Instagram, let's connect. Follow me and send me a DM. I'm at Independent Clinician. And if you're on Facebook, make sure that you join the SLP and OT Private Practice Beginners Facebook group. All right, off to help more regular SLPs and OTs become successful private practitioners. Let me know if I can help you too.